There was a man who was in a big hurry, driving through the parking lot, trying to find a parking space. He was in a big time crunch, and he was not having any luck finding a parking spot, so he decided to bargain with God. He said, "Lord, if you give me a parking spot, I will give up smoking. I'll give up smoking, but I need a parking spot, like, right away." Still nothing. "Okay, Lord, if you give me a parking spot, I'll give up smoking, and I'll start praying every day. I need to be able to park." And no sooner had he said that, they came around the corner, and there was somebody backing out right beside the door. There's somebody backed out right by the door, perfect. So the man said, "All right, God, never mind. I found a parking spot myself." Okay, so maybe sometimes we're not so good about recognizing God's gifts, right? Maybe sometimes we're not so good about seeing when we're receiving a gift, of knowing on a deeper level what's going on. The gospel in our first reading today challenges us in a certain way to recognize those gifts, challenge us to be grateful. So in both readings, we have this story of lepers who are being cleansed, right? If you go back to the first reading from the book of Kings, Naaman the leper, he's a Syrian king. He's the right-hand man of the king. Very wealthy, very powerful, very influential man who was sent to this prophet. He had heard about this prophet Elijah who had great gifts from God to be healed of leprosy. So he goes and the prophet Elijah doesn't even come out to speak to him. He doesn't come out from his cave or his tent or whatever it is. He sends a delegate to go tell the king to go wash in the river. And Naaman's not having it. He said, why would I wash in the River Jordan? Aren't there rivers back in Syria that are 10 times cleaner and more beautiful than what they have here? You know, he was expecting like the prophet to come out and kill a sheep and say some prayers or I don't know what, but it wasn't what he was expecting. And yet, once he was healed, he came back. His servants convinced him to go wash in the river, and he did. He was healed. He came back and gave thanks, and that's what the piece of the reading that we have in our first reading today is when Naaman comes back, and he came back with his entire retinue to the man of God, and he stood before Elijah and said, "Now I know there's only one God. There's no God on earth except the God in Israel. Please accept this gift from your servant." He came back to give thanks. All right, now skip forward to the gospel reading we have of Jesus cleansing the 10 lepers. 9 of them were Jews. 9 of them were the chosen people of Israel. And one of them was a Samaritan. And the good Samaritan that we hear in the other gospel, parable. Samaritans were hated by the Jews. They were outcasts. They were not permitted to partake in Jewish society, except in a leper colony, because they were all outcasts. They were all not allowed to be within certain. They had to warn everyone if they came within a certain distance that they were lepers there. You hear the same thing in the gospel today. They stood at a distance from him, Jesus, and raised their voices saying, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." They were at a distance. Just like Naaman, the leper in the Old Testament, he didn't get close to the prophet. It was through a messenger that he was told to go bathe in the river. Okay, but they were all healed. But if we think that the story from the Old Testament and the New Testament, if we think the moral of the story is, or the real gift that's going on here is the fact that they were cleansed of leprosy, we're wrong. That's not the point. It's not even remotely close to the point. It has to do with the man who came back to give thanks. 10 of them were healed that day, but only one found salvation. Only one came back, and when he came back the second time, after receiving the gift of healing, he had an encounter with Jesus Christ. That man received more in the second encounter than the other 9 did in their cleansing. But it was because of this act of gratitude, this act of thankfulness, where he came back to give thanks. That's what the church is presenting to us today, this spirit of gratitude, of recognizing gifts that we've been given by God. Now, I spent the first half of this past week in New Orleans at the International Stewardship Conference. And a friend of mine pointed out to me that there really is kind of, at this conference, there's kind of two different schools of understanding of stewardship. There's what we have here in the Diocese of Wichita that's a spirituality of stewardship. A spirituality that says that stewardship is something, it's in the air we breathe, it's in the water we drink. It's a way of life, it's a way of understanding that what we have been given is a gift. And that what we return is a response to that gift from God. So that's one kind of understanding, and that was represented there at the stewardship conference. But then there's another side too, and I dare say that that's where a lot of folks, their understanding of stewardship comes from is simply money, right? The asking for money, whatever. And so stewardship in that understanding becomes simply an act of justice, right? God has given me this, therefore I have to give him that, right? That's not our understanding of stewardship. If it's just God gives me this, so I give him that, okay, fine. That's just an exchange. It's a commerce. We understand stewardship. We understand what we've been given as gratuitous, as something that we don't deserve, and that what we return isn't equal. There's a whole way of understanding everything we've been given as gift. Now, here at Blessed Sacrament, we teach the kids our definition of stewardship here in our Diocese of Wichita. And we are very, very blessed here that we have, across the diocese, an understanding of stewardship that's not found anywhere else. We are the only diocese in the entire nation that has no tuition for our Catholic schools. The only diocese in the nation. There have been a couple other dioceses who have attempted to do something like that, and they almost went bankrupt and they had to go back to charging tuition. What is it about our way of understanding stewardship that's different? What is it about knowing what stewardship is? If you were to ask any of these kids up here in the sanctuary, my guess is they could tell you the definition of stewardship. Because we teach it in our schools. We want it to be part of the air we breathe. So what is stewardship? The grateful response of a Christian disciple who recognizes and receives God's gifts and shares these gifts in love of God and neighbor. And the operative word, so important at the beginning of that, is a grateful response. It has to be an act of gratitude. A grateful response. And then the verbs, to recognize and receive. In order to be a good steward, you have to recognize that you've been given a gift in the first place. And sometimes those gifts don't look like gifts. I remember reading a story of a woman named Corrie ten Boom. She was a concentration camp survivor. Her and her family were Christians. They weren't Catholic. They were Christians. And they used their whatever means they had before they were captured to save Jews from the Nazis. Eventually, they were captured, and she was the only one of her entire family who survived the concentration camp. But I remember very clearly one of the conversations she had with her sister shortly before she died, when her sister was saying, "We need to be thankful for everything. We need to be thankful." And she's like, "We lost everything we owned. And now here we are in a concentration camp, and you're telling me to be thankful." She said, "Yes. Be thankful for the fact that we have some food. Be thankful for the fact the little things that we have. Be thankful for the fleas, for the lice." And she said, "No." Corey's like, "No, we don't need to be thankful for the lice. That's just one more torture. It's one more thing we have to endure here." And then a couple of days later, she overheard a couple of the guards who were talking about the reason they didn't go in to abuse the women is because they were afraid of lice. She said that was the first time she considered the fact that she was grateful for lice. The recognition of a gift, the gift of lice, are you kidding me? To be grateful for that? A steward is grateful in all things. And the response that they make is out of gratitude. But how do we go about living in gratitude? How do we go about increasing our thankfulness? Well, a story I just heard recently from some friends of mine that they were telling me that they have an egg timer on their dinner table. And after the meal, every single day, they flip that egg timer and they spend those 3 minutes talking about, each one goes around and says what they're thankful for that day. To find something that they're grateful for. And then at the end, they say a prayer of thanksgiving to God. And they go their separate way to do their homework or watch TV or whatever. But what a great way to train your kids how to recognize gifts, to recognize blessings, and to give thanks back to God. Or what else? What are some ways that we can live gratitude, live thankfulness? Well, what about the Eucharist? The Eucharist itself, the word Eucharist means thanksgiving. Have you ever offered a mass in thanksgiving for receiving a job or selling a house or for an anniversary, a birthday? Considered attending mass as an act of thanksgiving, as a way of showing your gratitude to God, as an act of stewardship. Brothers and sisters, the living grateful, They've shown again and again that the happiest people are also those who are the most grateful. And so I'll leave you with a quote from St. Gianna Beretta Mola. The secret to happiness is to live moment by moment, to thank God for what he is sending us every day and his goodness. That is an act of stewardship.